Great.
Let's go.
Hear the music.
I don't even know
what now. Hello, everyone.
That was pretty good. You do Scottish really well.
I don't know where it comes from, but I'll take it. Oh, hello, everyone. I'm Molly Wood. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where every day we do whatever we want right before the show starts. And if we're lucky, by the end of it, we've helped you make today make sense.
Oh, my goodness. That was awesome. I don't know where that came from. Today is What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. I'm so tempted to try Scottish, but I would just wreck it. So we'll answer your questions, make you smarter in the process, maybe teach ourselves some things about dialects, and that's where we will go.
Exactly. It's that Mike Myers movie. That's all I got. You know that one. Anyway,
yeah.
Leading us off today with the questions. Let's just stay on target here, Molly.
Yes.
Get to the questions. Leading us off today is William in New York, who emailed us and said, just wanted clarity regarding President Trump's legal actions and who exactly is paying for these legal actions. Is it his money or is this taxpayer money? And does this in turn contribute to essentially our national debt if it is taxpayer money? We should probably start by saying I'm pretty sure it's not taxpayer money.
Yes, right? But let's talk about which legal actions, right? So if we're talking about the legal actions related to the campaign, the president is going out to his donors, and as we talked about a week or two ago, asking them for money. And part of that money is going to fight current actions, is also partially going to fight it's going to retire campaign debt. So for his legal actions related to the election, he's going out and asking donors for money, right? But this president, way more than most, has a lot of legal actions. So if you go to some of the other cases that he's fighting, in those cases, some of it is taxpayer money. And most specifically and most high profile is this defamation case filed by E. Jean Carroll, who she accuses the president of having raped her some number of years ago, and I think it was a changing room in a department store in New York.
Mm-hmm.
They are in court over those claims and counterclaims. And what has happened in that case is that the president has asked the Justice Department to step in and try to take over that case because he, and this is true, he claims he was in his official capacity as president when he denied that. And so the Justice Department has sought to take over. It has been denied by one federal judge, but it is still in court. But in that case, obviously, taxpayers are paying Justice Department lawyers. So it kind of depends on which of the president's not few legal actions we're talking about here.
Right. If you are talking about specifically the attempts to undermine or potentially overturn the results of the election, which we should be clear are not in factual doubt, those are, like Kai said, mostly being paid by this new PAC, Save America, which experts say can save money on a wide range of activities, not apparently recounts. I'm not totally clear on where the recount money is coming from. I know that, like, for example, Wisconsin, I don't know what happened there. Wisconsin basically said, if you want us to recount, Wisconsin.
Sorry.
That was just a verbal typo, just like a blah. Said,
right.
If you want us to recount and the difference in votes is over a certain percentage, then you have to pay for it and it'll cost you $8 million. And I have to say that I sort of laughed. It was like so on brand for the Trump campaign. They only paid $3 million for partial recount.
I love this.
They're just like, we're going to nickel and dime it a little bit for the
So not $8 million was full price. No, we'll give you $3 million. And just count two counties for us. That's what
and just
doing.
Count two counties. No, that would prefer that.
Yeah. Oh,
so yeah, it's messy.
Oh my goodness,
it's messy.
Yeah, and lots of legal issues, obviously, with this White House. Question number two today, Adrian in Texas.
Hi, Kai and Molly. I live in a very conservative part of the country, and there's a lot of concern with the new Biden administration that there's going to be shutdowns to handle the pandemic as soon as he takes office. And with business owners around this area. And I'm just wondering, what are the chances that instead of a business loan that the government might provide bailout money? I've been interested in how they're going to handle the pandemic. And especially around this area, there's been a large uptick in COVID cases. And I was just wondering, because my family just recently recovered from it, and it's been pretty hard, but we're on the mend. But, you know, it's just interesting to see. I do believe masks are mandatory, but I am concerned, you know, how hard businesses will get hit if they get shut down. Thanks.
Oh, honey.
Well, first of all, I'm
glad you and your family are okay. Yeah,
for sure. For sure. Holy cow. She sounds tired, right? Didn't she?
Yeah, seriously. That's a lot.
So just super quick on the shutdown thing, right? The president of the United States does not have the authority to order a national lockdown. That's up to governors, and some are and some aren't. The governor of Texas has been resistant. He's ordered some but has backed off. I mean, that's been, as you know, Adrian, in Texas, it's been up and down and up and down. On the bailout thing, look, I do not want to be a negative Nelly here, but Republicans and Democrats on Capitol Hill are literally not even talking to each other right now, let alone negotiating an aid package. So the idea that there's going to be something meaningful before an inauguration is doubtful. And then once the inauguration happens, if the Republicans keep control of the Senate, it's not going to be as big as virtually all mainstream economists say it should be, any relief package. And that'll be challenging for businesses that are going to have to figure out how to get by, truly.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw a tweet from a senator in Minnesota earlier today that I was trying to find. And she basically was like, yesterday in the Senate was absolutely surreal, completely detached from reality. She said, we voted to, you know, confirm judges and maybe had like a fight about masks and not a word about relief, not a word about how the government is going to run out of money in 3 months, apparently. Not a peep about that. And then I think now, did the Senate go on recess?
The Senate is gone. They are back December 11th. The government runs out of, they run out of money on December the 11th or 12th. I mean, it's, the government does. I mean, not just every business out there, but the government does.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, specifically to your question about lockdowns, like, we're in a real Groundhog Day loop here, and we're starting to see the headlines from early March come back around about like, we're probably going to have to shut down again. We have to come up with an actual targeted solution, and mask mandates have to be part of that. It seems like nobody, in the absence of any relief, I don't think any city or state is going to be able to, in good conscience, be like, everybody's got to close down. But then that leads you to situations like you have in New York, where they just closed schools, which have very, 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 very small infection rates, and left gyms and restaurants open. Now, one assumes that was on its face like an economic decision, because there isn't relief money coming for them. But it just means that anybody who has kids can't go to work again.
Yeah.
And you make the kids suffer more. So, like, we definitely, I mean, I don't know who I mean when I say we, but we have to come up with some better and more targeted and more careful and more and better thought out closure solutions for sure.
Yeah. Yep.
Do I sound tired now? Probably.
Yeah, yes. I think we're all sounding more and more tired. All right. Where else are we going?
Yep. Our next question comes from, it's a voicemail also, comes from Pete in Vermont.
My question is, what is going on with the Main Street Lending Program? I believe this is roughly one-third of the original CARES Act and is going mostly unspent. Make me smart, and I love the show. Thanks.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Yeah. So the Main Street Lending Program was a Fed lending facility. That is to say, it's a program set up by the Federal Reserve because, as Jay Powell likes to say, they have lending authority, not spending authority, right? So they have been granted authority by the Treasury Department, by Congress, and then through the Treasury Department to lend something like $500 or $600 billion to businesses that need it, specifically small and medium-sized businesses, right? This is not a Wall Street-centric program. It is a Main Street, sorry for that, lending program that's designed to help those businesses that don't usually have access to Fed programs, right? Usually the Fed, as you know from the Great Financial Crisis, worries about Wall Street, and then the stability in Wall Street trickles down. This demand shock that we got in February and March was so serious that regular businesses needed the help. The catch is, and I think there's two reasons for this, but the catch is that there has not been much demand for that program among smaller businesses below, say, $1 million. And businesses that need to borrow $1 million are reasonably sized businesses, right? So once you get out to smaller businesses and they're not needing that much money, then that's a challenge. And I think that's one reason. The other reason is just publicity, right? The Fed, you know, you're running a small business in Ottumwa, Iowa. You don't have time to figure out what the Fed is talking about. The Fed recently lowered the minimum terms for that thing and made a big splash about it sort of beginning of the month-ish. I don't know that it's still working as well as they want. So that's what's going on.
Yeah.
If I may, you know.
Thank you. Because, yeah. Yes, everything that Kai said.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, right. this is a lousy time to be running a business in this economy.
God, I mean, it really is.
And between now and vaccine, whenever that is, let's say May, I'm just going to pick a number out of my tuchus, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to be really scary because Congress isn't doing anything. Even if Biden gets somehow Nancy Pelosi to pass a $3 trillion relief plan like he said he wanted the other day, Mitch McConnell's going to go, nah, how about $500 billion? And that's, yeah. And then we're looking at 2009 all over again. Sorry, I'll stop.
No, I mean, it's really true. The Wall Street Journal had a story the other day about all the businesses that took PPP loans took PPP money, hopefully forgivable loans. And we should say, with respect to this Fed program, it's also very possible that companies were like, we can't take on debt that isn't forgivable.
Oh, yeah.
But that a lot of those companies that took PPP money have since filed for bankruptcy. Like, mm-hmm, a lot, mm-hmm, a very mm-hmm. large percentage mm-hmm. of them, because the money ran out. Like, yep. We're just so far from being out of this. And we're, let me just say again, because Groundhog Day, starting our cycle all over again.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, last one of the day, looking at the clock here. Here you go.
Hello, Molly and Kai. This is Bill from Denver. When it plays Make Me Smart, my podcast player shows a picture of the both of you in what appears to be a bar. Shocking, I know. What I want to know is, when was the last time both of you were in the same place at the same time?
Oh, wow.
Love the episodes, and thank you for making us smart these past 4 years.
Huh.
Wow. I happen to know the answer to that question.
In the same place. You do?
I do.
January? Must have been January, the holiday party?
Well,
yep.
Yes, the Marketplace holiday party down here in LA.
The post-holiday party. Yep.
That's right.
Squeaked that one in
that
under
picture,
the wire,
by
didn't
the way,
we?
Yeah, you did. You totally did. Are you kidding me? So that picture, yep. by the way, taken by the inimitable Chris Michael it was a bar, but it was like 9:30 in the morning, so we were having coffee, as you can tell in that picture. Chris Michael, friend of the pod, good guy, great photographer. Yep. Living
so
his
much
best
coffee.
Life, Chris is. Yeah.
So much coffee.
A lot of coffee. Yeah.
All right, I think that's it for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday, but I'm going to implore our producers to take this question that we never have time to and put it at the top next week, because obviously I'm super into it.
It's a good one.
And it is a great question, so don't dump it. That's it for What Do You Want to Know Wednesday. Keep sending us your questions. Now you're in suspense for next week. Make me smart at marketplace.org. This is officially my hollowed out shell, because Kimberly Adams will be filling in for me tomorrow because I'm moving. And I'll be back next week. No, not next week. I'll be back in 2 weeks.
No, Friday.
I don't know.
Are you out Friday? You here Friday?
No, yeah. Friday is move day.
All right.
Nope.
So
I'm
Kimberly's
out.
In tomorrow.
I'll see you all in like 9 days.
We're drinking on Friday. Molly's gone. Very well.
I should have brought a drink. Why didn't I bring a drink?
Oh, you should have.
What a shame. This was my big chance. I had some tea.
Make Me Smart is produced and directed by Marissa Cabrera. Tony Wagner is our digital producer. Erica Phillips does newsletters. Make Me Smart, you're on your smart speakers, all those good things.
Today's program was engineered by Charlton Thorpe, who got just a little bit of a scare at the top. Ben Holliday and Daniel Ramirez composed our theme music. Donna Tam is a senior producer, and the executive director of On Demand is Sitar Nieves. I like how that also created some suspense, like he got a scare because we just came on cussing up a storm or something. It was the internet.
Yep. One does wonder if it stayed stable. I guess you would have told me if it had crapped out, right?
Yeah, no, it was great. It was totally fine.
All right.
It was just keeping you on your toes.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.